And we are back. It's public radio access here on the Las Vegas, Nevada, the lovely Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino. And it's this week on Channel 9, on Channel 9 Live at Mix. And we've got Rob Connery.
Woo!
What a coincidence.
I know, how strange.
And John Sheehan. And our very own Dan Fernandez.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, it's the end of day two, is it not?
It is.
Is there another day?
There is.
There's another day?
Yes.
There's another day of Mix?
Yes. Now, have you given your talk?
I gave a talk.
It's not a trick question.
I'm completely shattered, but yes, I in fact did give a talk, and I had a blast. I had all my friends in the front row throwing things at me, which was awesome. And then Phil and I are going to give a talk tomorrow on NuGet, and Phil's actually giving a talk, I think, right now on NBC or any minute now.
Uh-huh.
And so we're having a blast. How are you doing? Are you enjoying yourself?
I had a great time.
Yeah, and being a part of the Peanut Gallery here
yes,
at Channel 9 Live.
Yes, I know. It's horrible being up here because I can't sit back there and laugh at you guys.
Right, exactly. Which is why we brought you up here.
I know.
It's really a defense mechanism.
Yeah, it's very good. Very good.
Hey, what did you think of the keynote there?
The keynote?
Yeah, dude.
I love the keynote. Like the Worldwide Telescope stuff, like generally during keynotes, I'm on my phone, I like stopped. I paid attention. Like I was riveted by that stuff.
You actually?
I was like,
here. Turn your head and cough.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's it, baby.
Did you get me now?
I didn't.
I've lost control of the show.
Can we get a mic if we don't have one? You got them?
It's okay. Well, you can go
it's
like
not
this.
Working.
How are you?
Do we have a handset mic?
So, yeah, mix it.
Any?
Yeah, all right. Why don't you just use sign language? Dan, what does John think about the keynote?
John loved the keynote, so normally he's on his cell phone, I think checking Twitter or Facebook. Is that a fair assumption?
You're translating for him.
Friendster. But Worldwide Telescope, he dropped everything to actually see it, which is not a common occurrence for John.
So, look right there, there's a man.
So, whoa!
Whoa!
Do you know how much we have to pay for that? So go ahead, finish your answer.
But I was riveted by it. Like, I was totally immersed in the demo. Like, I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, what did you think of the
and I don't like space.
The speed videos and stuff?
The speed videos?
For Windows Phone.
I wasn't a huge fan of the speed demos. I'd like it to just, show us how fast it is, and we don't need the comparison. But I thought it looked fast. I love that speed is now a priority for people. That speed is a feature, right? That's good. We want to see
it. But it was the Worldwide Telescope that captured your imagination.
What
about you? Did you wake up for the keynotes?
No, I did not.
All right. Yeah. What did you see?
Well, as the dude who was in charge of all the Kinect demos, I'd have to agree with John that the Worldwide Telescope, as well as the Jelly Bean Clint's driving thing that almost killed you, and all the other Kinect demos were full of wind.
Was it hard to write? I mean, do you think that you're actually going to go and write Kinect stuff? Do you see a use for the Kinect at home? Because like the number one thing that I want the Kinect to do is I want to put it on top of my 30-inch monitor, and I just want to be able to go like that to move stuff to my 24 over here and like that to move it to my other monitor. That's all I want from the life, is just to be able to do not this motion. I want to be able to like flick Windows to the other monitor. That would be amazing.
And it has to be like this.
It has to have a very kind of a weak, like a slap fighting.
A weak, girly
speed. Yeah, a bit of a, yeah. But
so you would use such a thing for your work?
Easily.
I'm 40% of my work is deleting email, and the rest of it's just moving Windows around on the screen.
But aren't you like command line guy? Like, give me the commands. I don't want to do mouse stuff.
So I want to go like this, and it'll type DIR?
I don't know.
I want to go like wax on, wax off. I want to type ls-alogf.
You want to wear a headset and look at your computer and say, you following me, camera guy? Right? Like ShamWow? ShamWow and you're... Never mind.
So Kevin Dende suggested that it should focus your attention on whatever monitor you're looking at. So if you're looking at the right monitor, then the dialog should pop up there.
Oh.
Or if you're looking at the left one, so I want something that changes the Windows primary monitor based on where you're looking. So the start menu is always on the one you're just looking
that's
at.
That's a cool idea.
I thought that was a great idea.
I actually think that's a great one. How many times have you seen a dialog box pop up on a different monitor and you keep trying to get the focus of Outlook and it's actually on a second monitor? So it's a great idea.
That's a cool idea. Do you think that's going to be a part of life? Like, I know I have a touch monitor, and you touch it for a while, but then your arm gets tired. And was raising my arms up going to be a part of my 9-to-5?
Probably. I mean, the first time I got a Sidekick, the next day, my thumbs were tired. But now, like, I can use the phone all day, and I don't get the strain anymore. So maybe over time we'll evolve to have good touchscreen memory.
I remember that when my thumbs were tired. But back in the very first BlackBerry, the little pager one, I did have that. But now I guess we've evolved in a few short years. So are you saying that in the future, I'll be in a big chair powered by Kinect with little kind of lobster claw hands moving stuff from side to side. But my arms won't get tired because I will have evolved.
You're like, your biceps will just be
right.
So huge.
So Idiocracy is actually happening.
What's that?
You didn't see Idiocracy?
I'm just kidding you.
Oh, my God. All right, if you have a question for why John Sheehan hasn't seen Idiocracy, tweeted it at hash. I like that what you did here, Dan. That was very classy. Right?
Yeah.
We spare no expense here on public radio access. Send us a question at @CH9Live, and we'll...
pound CH9.
Hash, pound, what did I say?
At.
At?
Not at. That's why there's a big yellow thing on top of it. No, no!
At hash CH9Live, and at our Twitter intern, Larry, we'll put it up on the big board. Can we wake up Larry, because... the Twitter board's empty right now. Very cool. So you were asleep during the keynote, but you were not asleep during yesterday's keynote.
No.
Because I called you and woke you up.
That's right.
Right. What did you think of the productivity demo that Scott Koo and I worked on? That was for the website you and I
wrote. Would you say it was good or would you say it was excellent?
Dan, as a matter of fact.
Rob, yeah. Great demo or greatest demo?
I thought it was the greatest thing I'd ever seen, Mr. Hanselman. No, it was a really good demo, and I liked the way it went end-to-end, and it covered things that developers do. I mean, that's, to me, if you take, if you do a demo and you do it from the developer's perspective, that's what you want to do. Like, instead of pushing product, instead of saying, look what you can do now, drag and drop, da da da, and everyone's like, woohoo! Like, no, do it from a developer's perspective, go through the workflow,
okay. And
you did that, and I thought that was pretty neat. And I liked your punchline of, we're trying to make you happy. This is about developer happiness, less so about productivity.
That's a big thing that you've been interested in. Some people have teased you and I for the work that we've done in WebMatrix.
Yeah.
Because kind of some people have said, well, WebMatrix is for college students and small children. But you and I, as professional devs, are using WebMatrix. Why, and you're a .NET person, you're a Ruby person, and you also do WebMatrix. Why do you find WebMatrix to be fun? And why do you think that a professional dev should even bother?
Well, I hadn't used it seriously until you and I put together the site. And the way we did it was great. I mean, we kicked up Dropbox and file new into the Dropbox. You would change part of the file. You'd yell at me, go fix that mouth breather.
Because we're on Skype, right? And you're in Hawaii, yes. And I'm in Oregon, and we're doing source code over Dropbox.
Yes, and file would change. And we're paracoding, sort of ghetto
totally
paracoding.
True.
It was, yeah, it was great.
That's awesome.
But the best part was we had the site done, literally, I'm not lying, in about, what, 2.5 hours or something?
Yeah, 2.5 hours,
completely
hours.
Finished. And then it took us 4 hours to deploy it, but, you know. It was,
hey, now. I asked you to deploy it this morning. Once deployment is set up, dude, one button.
I know. Once it's set up after that 4 hours.
You deployed this morning for
me. No, I know. I did. Yeah. I did.
But what is it about what makes it fun?
Because you get stuff
done. Because
you
could have done it in VS.
But you get it done. Right?
It's because there's no fuss.
And it's done right.
Like, the routing works. Right. You know, you're not fussing with routing. The URLs are what you expect them and want them to be out of the box. Mm-hmm. Like, if you have your host set up on web deploy is one click. It just works. Like, you're not fussing around with configuration and all of the stuff first. Yeah. You're getting stuff
well,
done.
The routing, let me pick up on the routing point.
Okay.
Because
it's called Smarty Routes.
This is, for me, this was one of the more, like, wow, I can't believe they actually did something that is intuitive and understandable. So I'm trying to figure out, well, how I've got to go and make URL rewriting work and the web config. How am I going to mask the routes? And then I read online, like, no, it magically picks up the values after the slash, URL data. It's right there. And I thought, that makes too much sense for
Microsoft.
Well,
You can say it.
For Microsoft,
hey.
Yeah. I mean,
we are getting it.
It's like you fall over into simplicity. And like, for me, it was like, I'm getting something done. It makes sense. It's intuitive.
And it was fun.
And I'm using C#. How'd that happen?
So why do you do your web pages work in WebMatrix, or do you open it in Visual Studio and then do it there? Because you have like better IntelliSense and you have JavaScript support and all that kind of stuff in Visual Studio. Or do you spend your time in WebMatrix proper?
You know, it's funny. I don't even know. I mean, I go back and forth. I like the IntelliSense, but I'm used to not having it. And you don't really need it with Razor because it's so concise. And it actually, if you don't have IntelliSense, you tend to make your code a little more readable, a little shorter, a little more understandable. It's not cryptic, but it's just more concise and smaller. So I don't mind not having that stuff.
I always thought that I used IntelliSense to augment the knowledge I had, that I wasn't relying on it. And then I started using WebMatrix without the IntelliSense, and I found the same thing. My code was shorter, it was more concise. Like, and last week I was building WebMatrix apps on my Mac with Coda and deploying over Git to AppHarbor. I never touched Windows. And I was writing these WebMatrix apps, and like I didn't need Windows in any part of that or any of the IntelliSense, and I felt still productive, like I was cranking things out without needing the, you know, Visual Studio to get me through it.
Did they turn on IntelliSense in some future version of Web Matrix, would you want to make sure that there was an option to turn it off? Or do you think you would get used to it?
See, I actually find myself using IntelliSense as a, hey, I'm just going to create a new object and just use dot almost as the way so I don't have to F1 and get into the documentation. Like, I say dot, and I'm like, okay, what can I do with this thing? Yeah. Okay, I can call this event. I see that there's these properties. And I use it as my way to navigate the documentation, if you will, for that. So it's not so much just calling APIs, but it's really just learning about, you know, that object or that class. Mm-hmm.
And IntelliSense is really great for discoverability, and I use it the same way. Like, new library, you know, dot through it and see what's there. Once I'm the least bit familiar with it, though, like, you use WebMatrix once, you get used to the, you know, WebMatrix.data, then you don't really need that IntelliSense anymore. You sort of have a good feeling of the API. You can start focusing on just writing the code instead of, you know, because you don't need the discoverability anymore.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that, I keep using the Lego metaphor and stuff, do you think Microsoft and the groups within Microsoft are starting to make things interoperate on purpose, or do you think we're just getting lucky and things are snapping together nicely? I've noticed the last maybe year to 2 years, it's getting cleaner, isn't it? I mean, you had a lot of fun writing your micro ORM called Massive, because Dynamic and the stuff that Anders and the C-sharp designers worked the way you wanted it. It's a fun way to write code.
Yeah.
Is this happening by luck, or do you think that there's some master plan, like in Goo's mind or something? Rob?
I don't honestly know.
You see it happening. Why?
You know, it's interesting again. So back to the time when you and I did the site, remember we were trying to pass show information between, I think it was a layout and the page below.
I remember. We were trying to figure out what's the right way to pass this data around.
And in my mind, I'm like, well, gosh, okay, it's got to be some kind of collection that you have to pass into some other thing, and it's this complicated thing. And so that's the way we did it. It was page data was the name of this bag that you put the property in. And then you're like, dude, I've got Damien on IM right here. He says, just use Dynamic. The page is dynamic. And I'm just like, no way.
Right,
and
right. We just made it up. The object was dynamic. Yeah.
So that got me thinking, you know, wow, you know, there is so much. I mean, you know this from the Ruby world and other worlds that, you know, we all dabble with and use whatever. Dynamics are fun. Dynamics are neat. But to see it actually work inside of a Microsoft tool was pretty mind-blowing.
Dude, doesn't it make you feel like you're cheating on them or something?
A little bit,
this example that he's giving. So we had a bunch of partials, and we were really trying to keep it dry. The whole goal of this developer's life site in WebMatrix was to have no repetition. So then we get to this point where we get the show object. We go and pull that out of the database.
Yeah.
And we're like, well, we got to pass this down to some of the partials, and how can everyone have this? Mm-hmm. So we shove it in this bag, and it felt gross.
Yeah.
And then we just said, oh, wait a second, page dot, oh, that's a dynamic, page dot show.
And it works.
And then every page had a show.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a bunch of, HTTP context.current and no crazy using statements.
Yeah.
We just put it in there.
Yep.
And it just worked.
Yep.
And it felt like we were cheating on.
Well, and when I started writing the Massive thing, and, you know, you write your query, and, you know, we did this with webmatrix.data. You write the query, and it comes back, and it works. And you think, wow, I mean, that's, what else could I do with this? And a thing that, go ahead.
Sorry, but it works not in a black box way. Like, I used to feel like Microsoft would release these black box things where it's like, you do something, it would enter a huge black box, and a miracle would happen, and then it would pop out the other side, like XML serialization, right? And I spent like a good number of years of my life trying to understand how XML serialization worked and busting it open.
Did you ever figure it out?
I did, in fact. Yeah. It's hamsters. but with something, like your Massive stuff, which is an example of saying, like, here's some inline SQL, and I want a dynamic out. So it's inline SQL in, object out. It's only like 400 lines of code.
Yeah, well,
there's no magic, though. That's the part. I keep looking for the black box.
The read stuff is neat. And, you know, it's a parlor trick, really, when it comes down to it. It just reads it out and translates it.
It is a parlor trick. You just did it first, though.
But the thing about it, the thing that really flipped my noodles when I was coding the thing, I'm like, what if I send an anonymous object in that you don't know whatever it is.
Right.
And then I was like, well, if I can do it with an anonymous, I can do it with a dynamic, I can do it with a dictionary, I can do it with a name value collection.
Yep.
And I was like, how much code is this going to be? And with dynamics, my goodness, it took, 360 lines of code, and it worked.
Yep.
And over 70% of that code is the read stuff. I have paging in there, I have all kinds of stuff. 20% of it is the writing, updates and inserts, that webmatrix.data actually doesn't do.
So what do .NET programmers out there today, whether they're doing web forms and big enterprises, need to know about Dynamic and JavaScript and OData and all these different Lego pieces that are suddenly starting to fit together? Do they start incorporating those styles into what they're doing and see the light?
I think we got enough .NET 1.1 first. What do you think?
Get them off .NET 1.1.
Maybe put it in 2.0 or something. I don't know. For Dynamics, I mean, just show them it exists. And then from there, I really don't know. In the enterprise world, it's hard to know, like, how is new technology going to be received? How are they going to secure it and be able to support it? And I don't know. It'll be an interesting thing to see what happens.
Yeah, it's tough.
Yeah.
You got to make a... my experience working with enterprise developers is you don't have to reach the developers. The developers want to use Dynamic. They want to use .NET 4. They want to use the latest stuff. It's you got to make that business case to their managers on how this is going to pay off for
and
them.
That's what's tough about this whole kick that I'm on lately. I thought it was really cool that Scott Gu let me keep optimizing for developer happiness in the keynote because, you know, joyfulness is productive, but it's hard to sell that to a suit, you know?
Yep.
How do I go in with, like, my Microsoft shirt on or whatever, like, hey, CTO, you're going to have more fun when you use Dynamics or whatever, right?
Yeah,
right? It's like, I mean, how hard is it to sell your CTO on letting you all have dual monitors, right? Everyone and common sense knows that you are more productive with at least two monitors.
Right.
That's just like a known. Everyone knows that except people in suits.
True.
How do we sell that? How do we sell joyfulness to, like, you know, Jeff Atwood always says, make sure your developers have a great monitor and a great chair because it will make them happy.
Right.
Give them free soda, pizza.
And a great PC and modern tools.
There's SSDs for all.
And a Windows Phone 7,
yeah.
Right?
And free cookies and soda.
That's right.
I have a queue, actually, a diet, non-specific diet drink here that I'm working through.
Good man.
It's a breakfast of champions.
Yeah.
Cool. Twitter intern Larry, did we get any questions from Twitter or is no one watching the show anymore?
Sad trombone.
They're watching.
Wah, 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 wah. Wah, 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 which is a new website, actually.
New website?
Yeah.
Sad trombone?
I'm pretty sure.
Welcome to 1996, Dan Fernandez.
Okay. I don't know if you've seen the HTML5 enabled version.
Is there an HTML5 enabled version of Sad Trombone?
People were talking about it. I thought
very nice,
the
very
reference
nice.
You'd get.
What,
but,
is there any I'm going to just go to my own Windows Phone Series 7, Series 7 Series phone. And check out what the Twitter chatter is there.
The Windows DPE phone.
Twitter intern Larry has got nothing on the board here. Nothing useful?
Sorry.
No? Not nice people?
Well, Dan had a question.
They don't like Rob.
Dan had a question.
Did you have a question?
Well, tweet it on
so,
me, and then we'll get
no,
on
actually, board. So we've been here 2 days, and you did something. I'd like to ask you guys, like, what's kind of been your fun part, of best favorite moment of Mix so far? Or, like, what are the things you always look forward to in when you go to events like this?
Well, I don't always look forward to it, but... Scott Gu's zoom in today on the keynote was pretty fun. I did make it that way. That zoom in was pretty funny. That made my and then watching you guys sit up here with Miguel, that made my trip. That was good.
Oh, see, we did this for Rob.
Yeah,
that was great.
The best moment just happened. It was when accordion guy played the sad theme at the end of the Incredible Hulk.
That was brilliant.
That may have
actually been
the greatest thing ever.
I don't know if he's here. Or...
It was amazing. Thank you very much for that.
Yeah,
what was your favorite moment?
Accordion.
So my favorite part was Miguel, the panel earlier as well. But my second favorite, close second, was Open Source Fest. So
that was pretty cool.
Open Source Fest, should I talk, describe
Please,
about
what, tell us
it? So,
you have about 2 minutes.
This was a new event this year where John Papa organized it. They got 50 open source projects in a room. They gave everyone tables and power for their laptops, and you got to show off your projects for a couple hours. And I think I talked to 500 people is what I figured out. And it was just a great overall showcase of open source in the Microsoft community, which gets a bad rap. But that room proved that it's more vibrant than its reputation.
Packed.
It was packed.
And I learned about Glimpse, the Glimpse project. You
That's
should check
awesome.
Them out at getglimpse.com. I learned about, this is what's great about, and this is why, and I say this not jokingly. Oh, it's accordion guy. He's going to play us off in a moment.
When you're ready.
But I honestly get just right on the edge of teary-eyed. Because I just love this community. I know we have our problems, and we argue, and we fight about this and that, and sometimes Rob doesn't answer my calls. But, man, the Open Source Fest, I learned about Glimpse, for example, at a table there, blew my mind, and I incorporated it in my talk the next day. And I learned about the Kinect guy who had hooked up, you know, just amazing, amazing stuff. I'm just very happy to be... I'm very happy to be a part of this community.
It's so wonderful.
And the best part of that whole event is the next day a guy came up to me and said, I want to start an open source project because I was inspired by the projects I saw last night.
I promised myself I wouldn't cry. I'm getting a little verklempt. It's Channel 9 Live. Talk amongst yourselves. Thank you very much. Good night.
Thank you.
Keep going.